Hello everyone, and welcome to Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. Thank you to all on YouTube already and who may be joining later on the replay. We do have a great guest today, but before we get started, I would like to just do a check-in to see if everyone is able to hear me and see me okay. And if you could just put a yes in the chat, that'd be great. We just want to be sure everyone is able to see us before we get started. And just want to say hi to some early starters here in the chat. We got Blue Island checking in. All right. And as people join in, feel free to just put where you're calling, where you're joining in from. Perfect. We have a yes in the chat that we are able to be heard and seen. Yes. So also, if you have not subscribed to my channel, please do so. Please subscribe and hit that notifications button so that you can be notified whenever we are going live. That would be great. So hello from Blue Island. Hello to Blue Island, to South Holland. Thank you for joining. Chicago. Yes, yes. Come on in. We feel the love. We feel it. So again, LA. All right, LA. Yeah. LA in the house. I love it. I love it. We got some young energy on the screen today, y'all. I am so excited to talk to this young man. He is my first guest of 2025. He is kicking off a new season for me for my channel, and I am so excited about that. We have today Mr. Asir Mecca, and when I tell you he has accomplished so much at such a young age, and he did it with a journey, through a journey of resilience. He really did, and he's going to share his story with us today. And first of all, Asir, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite.
I am so proud of him. So before we get in all of your business, Asir, just give us a brief introduction of who you are, what your hobbies are, and what you would like to get from this podcast today for our audience.
Okay. So I'm Asir Mecca. I am from Chicago. Born and raised, went to Kenwood Academy, Southside. And once I graduated from there, I went to Texas Southern University in Houston, where I majored in political science, minored in business administration. I was involved in a lot of things when I was at TSU. I did Royal Court. I was Mr. Honors College, Mr. Honors Freshman. I was president of the Chicago Club. And I really went down there and tried to open up space for myself in as many avenues as possible. So I got into whatever I could while I was there. And then when I graduated from there, I had the opportunity to, well, I received a scholarship to go get a master's from a little school in Colorado called Colorado College. It's about 2,000 students or so, and it's in Colorado Springs. So it's a mountain town, essentially, but it's a little more city.
Wow. I can't wait to dive into all of it. Yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited about that. And thank you everyone again for joining. If you haven't heard, we are live. Yes, we are absolutely live. And we are going to get right on into it. And here we go. Sorry. Yes. Okay, perfect. We got more people coming on in. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I did want to take this second though. Sorry.
Yes.
I realized I didn't say anything about hobbies. I make music, right? So I rap. Yes. But I believe first of all, hip hop is a medium that was created by Black people in America, right? So it's very integral to our experience. Every single one of us knows a hip hop song or hip hop artist. And it's a young genre, relatively speaking. 50 years old is not that old for music, right? We got music that's hundreds of years old, but hip hop is a is a medium that Black people have been able to express themselves. And to whatever degree you feel that that's positive or negative, it is extremely influential. And so I make music and I try to put content in my songs that is asking people and telling people, like, we gotta think about our circumstances and be willing to be critical change makers in society. And I feel like it's such a I like music because it feels good to make, it feels good to do it, but then also, like, your music can outlive you. Your music is an entity all of itself, you know? So, like, when people listen to it, it's people who listen to my songs in cities I never been to and places I never been to. So I don't know what that person's day-to-day is. So I don't know how they're interpreting my music exactly, but I can make sure my music is standing on the business that I wanted to so that it can have that impact.
I love that. You said critical. You said a word that I really liked. That it was. You said it, and it was on the tip of my tongue. Did you say critical change makers?
Oh yeah, yeah. We got to be critical change makers.
I love that. Critical change makers. I love it.
I tell my students to do that all the time. So that's the thing. You got to be dynamic in whatever capacity in your life and in the in your life and, like, impacting the space of the people around you or the people that you really care about.
Oh, I love it. Okay, y'all. So let's get into it. So, and I think I apologize if I mispronounced your name. I said Asir, but I heard you say Asir.
No, Asir.
Asir. Okay. All right. Perfect. So, first of all, you said you grew up in Chicago, the South Side, and what made you even get interested in going to an HBCU? That is Texas Southern. That's where you went, correct?
That's correct.
Texas Southern. So what even made you think about going to HBCU and Texas Southern?
Okay, well, both of my parents went to HBCUs. My mom went to Grambling State University, and my dad went to Southern University, both schools in Louisiana. So I feel like from a very young age, I knew I was going to HBCU, all the strength of that. And, like, beyond just my mom, a lot of my other family members went to Grambling. But I knew that I wanted to make a name for myself in my own right, so I was never going to go to Grambling. And because, like, my Grambling and Southern are, like, rival schools, so it was just in my best interest to not go to either school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I wanted to do my own thing. And I was pretty sold on that from a young age. I was pretty profoundly impacted by the murder of Trayvon Martin. And that really gave me some critical consciousness about the world and about my placement in it as a Black person, as a Black man. So I was very intentional and intent on having a very Black experience with education because I knew and I understand how important it is to learn from Black people in Black spaces. So I wanted to have that regardless. So then when I went to Kenwood, we went on college tours. I went on a college tour where they took us to Texas. I was able to tour the school, and we didn't have a great tour. It rained so bad the day that we went to the school, but I just loved it so much. The vibe felt really good. It was in Houston, which is another big city. It's still Southern, but I knew I wasn't really trying to move or go to a school where I would be far away from a city or far away from kind of the lifestyle that I'm used to. So going to Houston, that Chicago's the third largest city, Houston's the fourth largest. So it was like, I'm gonna get a lot of the same vibe that I get at home. And I'll be able to be at an HBCU. I got family down here in Texas. And I got family in Louisiana, so people could get to me quickly. I mean, when I first got there, Hurricane Harvey hit, like, 3 weeks after I got to TSU. One of my cousins who I had never met, well, I had met when I was young, like, at a family reunion, but didn't remember, she came to my school as soon as the roads were clear to help me out. So having people, and my aunt lives down there. I spent a lot of days with her and my uncle down there. So, like, it was comfortable. It was comfortable for me to go there, and so I was pretty sold on the HBCU long before I went to college. And then once I found TSU on that college tour, it just sealed the deal. It just made it just made the path more clear, but it was always
always. And someone said, Jay Lindsay said, good decision on selecting a neutral HBCU.
Yeah, that's my mom. She know that was my best interest.
I love it. So
yeah.
Before we get down this road, HBCU, tell our audience, what is an HBCU and what is the importance or significance of it?
Oh, so historically, Black College or University is what HBCU stands. That's what it's an acronym for. And those are exactly what it says. Historically, Black colleges and universities that were created during a time where Black people were living in segregation or well, actually, that's not true for all of them, because some HBCUs, I don't want to misquote it, but the oldest HBCU is from like 1830 something. So that would have been before slavery even was ended in the United States. But the colleges were created to give Black people a space to learn, give Black people a space to become academics or just become educated in whatever field it was that they were interested in. Okay. At that time, or just to use as a platform for them to create space for themselves in some other way. But mm-hmm. we needed those spaces, right? We needed right. to have some spaces where Black people could learn, grow, and become those critical change makers. Like that, you won't be able to get that unless you're buying into or being surrounded by people who are actively promoting that growth and who have stake in you having that growth. Right. So if Black mm-hmm. people are helping other Black people be great, you got stake in that. You got it's value in you doing that work. So HBCUs, and there's plenty. I want to say it's 106 HBCUs in the country. Most of them scattered across the southern states. But we got mm-hmm. some oldest HBCU in the chat in the United States, founded 1837. Thank you for that. Right. So I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Those spaces, though, they're just so critical for us. And having the ability to learn and grow in a space where those people do have they got stake in you being mm-hmm. being great. And I actually want to get away from saying that word. I know that stakeholder is a less than desirable term. I want to think of another one. But some people who are vested, who have vested interest in you being great, individuals who are creating a space for you to be somebody. Those people are
they care for you, genuinely. There's some genuine care mm-hmm. and concern. Okay, our audience is coming through with the history, Asir. We got your mom saying, the oldest historically Black college and university is in the U.S. was founded in 1837. Right. Shanice Jenkins said Cheney University is the first HBC founded in 1837. And the churches were and continue to be important to HBCUs. Okay. I love it. I love our audience. Go ahead. Yeah. Look like you're going to say something.
No, I was just going to respond. Thank you. Thank you for that. And look, I'm fallible, right? I went to school a long time. Literally, this past school year is the first school year in 20 years I didn't go to school or I wasn't a student in the classroom. But I don't know everything, so I appreciate the chat. Like, you know, keep me on my toes. I don't want to tell y'all something that's incorrect or false. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Tonda, thank you. Thank you for giving that information about the churches. Yeah. So, Asir, so many people, I don't want to say so many people, but there's a lot of hype around HBCUs, especially with Beyonce doing, you know, some concerts and things like that. But then there's also some naysayers about HBCUs who say that the academics are less rigorous and that you don't get as good as an education in an HBCU. Now, what do you have to say about that?
Okay, I got a lot to say about that, but I'm gonna try to keep it quick, right? Two things. First, we live in a racist country. I do want to say that. Mm-hmm. I hope that is not a newsflash to anybody, right? We live in a country that perpetuates inequity, and Black people have historically bore the brunt of that inequity, right? So the amenities or the material, the resources that we're able to generate and allocate to students and give out to people have on the whole been less, but we've always been given less and we've always done the most with it. Also want to say that if you look up some of the most prominent Black successful individuals, they'll be people who went to HBCU. So if you want to base the the quality of HBCU, somebody's HBCU experience, or you want to place a broad generalizations on all HBCUs because of somebody's specific instance at an HBCU, that's a tough generalization to make, especially when we know the historical implication, the historical implications of Black people learning in this country. Like we were, it was like law that we shouldn't read in the first place. So like to disparage educational spaces for Black people is just buying into or feeding into a system that has historically kept us down. But I don't think that, or I think that there should be hype around HBCUs. Black people should be happy to be Black and learn in Black spaces. And to that point, I do want to talk about, especially when people say rigor or throw around the terms about like how difficult somebody's schooling is, or like what facets go into that. And we haven't talked about it, but my master's was in teaching. So I studied a lot of education. And one of the things that I studied and I wrote about in my thesis was that we need to get away from this idea called epistemological superiority, right? Uh-oh. Which means that no one way of learning is superior to or better than any other way of learning. So if learning from Black people looks different than some standardized anything, it's not because we aren't learning or that it isn't rigorous or that this isn't valid education. It's just that we learn in this way and we find success in this way. And our teachers know that we find success in this way. So our education is geared towards and molded so that we can learn in that way.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I love it. So thank you for giving us that background. So you went to an HBCU, you got your bachelor's. Let's give it up for him, you all, his bachelor's at Texas Southern. Oh my goodness. Let's put some shouts in the chat. And then you, like you stated earlier, you got a scholarship. Look at that. To go to a school in Colorado, and you got your master's. So you actually have seen both, you have actually a perspective of both an HBCU, and then there's a term that we use to describe the other colleges. What is that PWI. Term? And what does that stand for?
A predominantly white institution.
Okay, so give us the 911 on that, the differences that you saw from an HBCU to the PWI. And I love the term that you used earlier, but give us some insight on that.
So it was a complete culture shock for me, because not only did I go from HBCU to a PWI, I entered what I'll call white America for the first time in my life. Before that, right, I'm from Chicago. And if you don't know about Chicago, it's one of the most segregated cities in the United States. For the vast majority of my life, all of my schooling was around Black people, and I had only learned in Black spaces. It was a given, right? My elementary school was Black, my high school was Black, and then I went to a HBCU. So for the first time at 23 years old, I'm trying to learn in a space where I'm not recognized in a way that I had taken for granted for the whole previous 20 years of my education. Okay. And so when I got there, also going to a very white place outside of the school, right? If I had gone to a PWI, but it was still in, let's say, Chicago, right? If I went to University of Chicago, it would be different because I could still be around Black people and in the Black spaces that nurture me. Colorado itself is an 81% white state. So there was not much Black space for me, even outside of school. But I was blessed and grateful to be able to live with my aunt for the majority of the time that I was there, which gave me a chance to be around family who I didn't get to spend a lot of time with. And I found a lot of peace in having that. But being at the school itself, it was very isolating. It was very it was very different, like culturally. The school was smaller than the school I came from. They didn't have sports like football or baseball. It was a very different experience to be on a campus and like have to really search for another Black person, or sometimes even a person of color, quote unquote POC person, which would be somebody who's not Black or white, but they fall in the colored section.
So being coming from TSU, where you were the majority, and coming to another institution where you were not only the minority, but even outside of that college, in the town, you were the minority. So that was a culture shock. Definitely. What would you say, and you said it was isolating, and how did you get through that? How did you persevere? But I just want to put a pin right there before you respond. You do have your master's, is that correct?
I do.
All right, so let me tell y'all, he not only has his bachelor's, all right, but he also has his master's. He persevered. That's why the name of this segment is A Journey of Resilience, because he did that thing. Y'all put some clapping hands in this chat. Let me see it. So I want to say congrats to you, first of all, being a young Black man and obtaining 2 degrees. It's just so awesome. So how did you make it through this? You know, did you, it's so much to cover, it's so little time. So that's right. Already a segue to that. We got to have you back on again.
Sure,
but how did you navigate and get through this very isolating time?
So I was, so the pandemic hit, right, 2020, and everybody had to isolate, everybody had to be inside. And that really impacted me pretty negatively. I was depressed and I was really sad during that time, right? And so for the next 2 years or so, even leading up, or the 2 years previous, leading up to going to Colorado, I was really trying to cope with being depressed and just having feelings of like loneliness and isolation in the first place. So I really, I buy into like positive manifestation. I believe in like really talking to myself about the things that I can achieve and the things that I know I can achieve. And just putting a foot forward. Like I'm fearless in like attempts, right? Even if I feel like I'm not the best at something, I'm willing to work. I'm willing to do it 100 times, 200 times till I have it. And so even with my mental health struggles, I just told myself like, you have to finish. You have to get through this. And I talk myself through it. I talk positively to myself. You got to, right? It's easy to self-deprecate and say bad things about yourself or feel negatively about your experience. And you just want to lash out and be angry. And it's like, yeah, you're entitled to the full range of your emotions. I don't want you to limit yourself in any way, but you also got to tell yourself what's practical and tell yourself what are the things that you can actually tangibly change about your experience so that you can go forward. And so I would write all the time, and I would write all of the thoughts I had about a situation or about a thing or about something that was going on in my life, just so that I could have the self-reflection to approach the situation in a way that I felt like would be most productive of the outcomes I was trying to see. So I think that self-reflection and willingness to push through when I'm not feeling my best, right? Give myself the space and the grace to feel whatever I'm feeling. Give myself like the kindness that I need, but also tell myself like, you will feel better if you execute. You will feel better if you get this done. And so even when I was feeling isolated, even when I was feeling lonely, I was really inspired by like just actually achieving my goal, right? Saying when I'm done, I'm gonna go home. I said the whole time I was there, when I'm done, I'm going to go home. I had the opportunity as a part of my scholarship to earn some extra income on top of my income if I was to stay out there, but I was never going to stay there. I was always going to go home. And I just kept telling myself that the goal is to go home. The goal is to get this information and be able to go into the space that you feel most welcome in and that you care about and cultivate it so that people can come behind you and be better than you are.
Oh, I love that. You gave us some nuggets here. Journaling, prayer, and self-reflection. Sherry said the space and grace. You have given us some great nuggets. And, you know, these are the pillars and the stepping stones that you use that can be inspiring to others. Now, I do also want to acknowledge that you made it through and you use these times to, you know, self-reflect, journal, pray, and just affirmations. You kept, you know, you kept that up. And you obtained both of those degrees, which is so amazing. Now, what are you doing now? Are you, I had a guest on last week, and he was talking about college degrees, and college degrees are, you know, a lot of money, and he doesn't recommend them unless you want to be like a doctor or a professor, things like that, that there's jobs that you can get and do without those degrees. Has this degree paid off for you? What are you doing with those degrees?
Right now, I'm using my teaching degree immediately. I teach fifth to eighth grade English at Chicago Public School here in Chicago. I'm called Park Manor Elementary School. And it's paying off great for me. I mean, my work is fulfilling, even when I'm tired, even when I feel like, you know, dejected because of something that happened in class on one day. Just overall, the work that I'm doing, I know is important, and it feels important when I'm doing it. So I'm inspired to get up and do it regardless. So it's paying off for me. I would say so, but I wouldn't stress that degrees are the path for everybody, or that there's some blanket success route for every single person, because it's not. Everybody has to figure out what it is that's going to work for them, and where are the spaces that they can be most dynamic so they can make the most things happen for their life and happen for themselves. So I'm not trying to tell anybody they got to go to college, but I'm not going to also say to somebody like, hey, don't go at all, because that might be the route for them. That might be something that they really want to do. And like he said, we do need professors. We do need doctors. Mm-hmm. We need everything. And if you got to go to school to have that job, we need somebody who's willing to go do it, because we need everybody, right? Everybody got to do something. So I can't knock somebody for the path that they take. And whatever path you take, if you happy, if you feel like you maximizing your potential, then it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks.
That's right. I like that. I really like that. It's your own race. You're running your own race for yourself, for your greater vision of yourself. And I truly do love that. So, and I'm glad that you're working in your profession, and I can just imagine the lives that you are touching. It's just so wonderful. And as Black people, we get so excited when we see a person that looks like us, you know, that are doing great things. And you are making all of us proud. You are a Black man, and you're doing great things, and you're impacting lives. We love that. We just want to just thank you for that, your contribution and all that you're doing. So we know that you're doing that. What are you doing on the side? I had the pleasure of hearing some songs by you, an album by you, and I really enjoyed that. And you talked a little bit about that earlier. Tell us about this music journey that you're on. What is that about?
Even when I was young, I used to like to write like poems and just rhymes. The show The Boondocks, I know, for whatever correlations you make from that show, but the theme song to that show always struck me. I always thought it was so good. So if you get a chance, you should go listen to the theme song for that, because the very first time I ever got a chance to do like a talent show, I rapped that song at the talent show. I was so nervous, but I knew then that I liked it. I liked rap a lot, and that if you say the right things, you can move people, right? If you're saying things that are impactful, people will resonate with your sound, or they'll resonate with your music. Or even if they don't, that's okay, because like even in real life, everybody don't like you and you don't like everybody. So, that's, you know, so it's like, you know, even if you don't, I'm gonna make it anyway, because it's a extension of myself. And like I said, something that's gonna be able to live beyond me, right? Even if I say on one of my songs, like, I'm gonna shed the flesh, views will never be, will always remain the same. And it's true, right? Like if you say something, like we could talk right now about the leaders of the past, things that they said, people gonna talk about Malcolm and the By Any Means and Martin Luther King and I Had a Dream. Those are thoughts, those are ideas that were documented from them, and that people still have conversations about today, and music can have that same impact. So right now I got two EPs out. Actually, I'm working on an album though. I want to put it out this year. I'm actually trying to put it out pretty soon, probably out a month from now. And it's going to be called Panacea. But if you want to hear something from me right now, you can find me. We put in the chat the link tree, but I'm I sent the link to you in the private chat. People click that, okay. And then people can actually click it there. And I dropped the EP that was called Inspire in December of 2023. And then I dropped another EP called Free Mind, which dropped in March of 2024. And both of those are, they're pretty prevalent work. They tell a story. They tell, and it talks about issues that I really care about. But I want to double down. I want to be more explicit, more intentional, and even better on this album that I'm trying to drop this year. So if you're interested, please tap in and check it out. Listen, I would love for you to hear it. Tell me what you think, and maybe you'll catch me at an open mic or something. But I'll be doing my thing.
I love that. I did put the information in the chats, and we got to have you back on because we got to talk about your journey some more and what made you get it, not what made you, but how you got into being an independent artist. You know, I love that. I do have some independent artists in my family as well. We also have another big name in our family. Babyface Ray is a cousin of mine, and I just want to give him a shout out and to our family. And also, we got some shout outs in the chat, Asir. You know, people want to shout out some of the schools that they have. Shout out to HBCU Tuskegee. We got a shout out to Howard. I may have missed some.
Shout out to both of y'all.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the HBCUs. Well, we got Jackson, HBCU. Hampton, Morehouse, Spelman, Clark Atlanta, North Carolina A&T, Prairie View A&M. Jarvis Christian College. We got a bunch of them. Like, come on, man. Shout out to all the HBCUs, all the HBCU grads, and people who still continuing that legacy of Black education. And keeping it Black for the Black, all Black all the time. Power to the people.
UNCF. All right.
United Negro College Fund. Shout out to them. The Grambling State University.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And so many people that you inspire. My daughter Ryan is also interested in doing some work in the song space. So independent artist is just really blowing up, and it's another pathway that you're not reliant on for
the Memorial
family. My cousin went there. But it's so much that is going on right now that you don't have to be dependent on other people to make things happen for you. And I'm just so proud of you for doing that and taking those steps forward. So we have come to the end of our time today, but your information is in the chat. You all can find his information there and for Linktree, Instagram, and Facebook. So please go check it out. He said, let him know what you think of it. And I'm also just gonna give a shameless plug. If you all can also subscribe to my channel, I feature wonderful people like Asir and other diverse populations and guests as well. Just learning a lot for us to broaden our minds and horizons and take advantage of this big, great world that we have. And I thank you all. And Asir, just give our audience one last word. You've given us some great nuggets. I love it. I just see so many things on the horizon for you, if that's your path. But what do you want to leave our audience with today?
Well, every day you got a chance to change your life, literally. Every single day you got a chance to say, I'm going to be better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Whatever it is that you want to do in this world, take the opportunity, give yourself the opportunity, and be fearless in your pursuits, because it's the only life you got. It's the only time that you got, right? The past is gone forever, and the future never going to come. It's always right now. You only live right now. So live for that moment. Live for what you got to do right now. Be your best self and be great. Be great. If you don't do nothing else, be great. So I'm Asir Mecca. I go by GOAT, G-O-A-T, all lowercase. You can catch me on everything. Wherever you can find your faves, you can find me.
I love it. I love it. So thank you again for joining, and we'll look for some time in the future to get you back on. And I know your students are so blessed to have you. Thank you all. You all have a great night, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.